Hello and welcome to Movie Theater Time Machine. We review today The Thing from Another World.
From Another World.
What are you doing?
The Thing from Another World.
What is that voice?
Is this the ever-loving blue-eyed thing, Ben Grimm?
I don't know. I don't know. An RKO picture.
Down from old Yancey Street. Yeah.
An RKO picture here was based on the 1938 novella Who Goes There by Jonathan Campbell. And that's about enough of that voice. I'm Nick.
I'm Kaz.
I'm Dan.
I'm confused.
Okay, this is
the first time.
The virgin time.
The very first thing I want to point out about this movie is the whole, like, the thing from another world, how it feels like that's just tacked on.
Yeah.
Even on the movie poster, it looks tacked on.
It is.
And the thing, scribble from another world, very quickly.
The weird story sideways, but this reminded me of a place that I used to go to with my parents all the time because there was good food, good place that we used to go to was a place called Ruby's Diner.
Okay.
It was up in the middle of Maine and very, very nice people, but there was always a weird sign that was there that was just genuinely funny unintentionally, and it was funnier outside of anywhere but Maine.
If it was up in Maine, this is a sign just can't get there from here.
Yeah. So there was a sign that was like almost structured like the thing poster.
Yeah.
But it said, "Who wants my wood?"
Oh.
And because it's movie theater time machine, we've got to do something bizarre with this. So because we're 12.
We are 12.
Yeah. So it said, "Who wants my wood? Call this number." And then it was written in pen right below, scribbled in, "Firewood." Like, you know how many stories or probably how many people called? Like,
that is basically just writing your number on a bathroom stall for a good time
call.
Me.
Exactly.
I just meant I could be hired as a party clown.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was looking it up because Kaz had asked before we started recording whether or not this one or the 82 one.
Yeah,
which we're going to watch in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Is closer to the book.
Yeah.
The 82 one is closer to the book.
Oh,
right.
There were also
two
renditions of the book.
Yeah.
One that initially came out, the novella, and then they found out that it was actually a longer book they found later on.
Oh.
And a few years ago, they did a Kickstarter to get the full novel published. They had $1,000...
Okay.
They had $1,000 goal, and they made $155,000 to get this book fully out there.
Huh.
And apparently the ebooks are available and have been available since January 16th of 2019.
Get out of here. Wow.
So there are physical copies apparently from June of that same year, so 6 months later. They came out with actual books. So the full book for this is out there.
Wow.
Yep. I just thought it was interesting. I just started to look it up.
No, it's like, cool. It's a really good one.
Based on the 82 movie, they, like...
It's been so long since I've seen it.
Yeah.
Different. From what I know, little I know about it.
But yeah. It's got a very different feel. It feels like this version, if, like, they took what was in the book and they very loosely kept it that way and just turned it into the most B-movie of B-movies.
Yeah.
The really good thing about it was the opening credits.
Mm.
Because the whole thing...
The thing.
Before the
shiny
From Another
letters.
World.
And yeah.
But the way that the opening, like...
I know what you mean.
Animation
or
whatever it is. It's actually really good.
Yeah.
Until you see
and it's more or less the same font in the 82
It's very,
like,
very
don't
similar.
Break when don't fix what ain't broken.
But that right there, okay? So when I went into this movie, Dan and I watched this movie separately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I went into this movie, the first thing I noticed, like I said, was that opening sequence, that opening scene, the thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, okay. And then immediately after, we get the green screen snow. And I'm like, oh. And then I kept watching it. I was like, you had potential for, like, a really scary sort of movie.
Right.
I really did.
On that.
Yeah.
But
I did too.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the spot.
I don't know. I'm not going too much into detail about it, but it was like there was a lot of potential just walking into the movie, just that opening. I was just oh, okay, maybe I will be surprised or a little thrilled or something. Nah.
And I've complained in the past about movies being too dark, like, and I don't mean like emotionally, I mean just literally physically dark, you can't see shit. This movie was too bright.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh.
Because like sometimes it's better not to see the monster.
Yeah.
Because if you see the monster, it reminds you of Crichton from fucking Red Dwarf.
Yes. Oh my God.
This is not scary. I just want to hear him talk about the different attachments for his groinal socks.
He's got a head like a novelty condom.
Yeah. Exactly.
The first time they open the door and the guy's there, rawr, I'm like, oh, Crichton!
Has claws.
At first I was just like, wow, it's a really tall dude.
Yeah,
because look, it's a dude. What's happened to your head?
Yeah. Right?
Slams. Oh, okay.
I was just like, what is that? Because I was going to text you and be like, is this supposed to be the monster? Like,
it looked more like one of those, the gray aliens, when it was kind of obscured in the ice.
Yeah, well,
that was spooky when it was obscured in the ice. You know, it probably should have stayed there.
See this big, blurry, black eye thing.
Who was the fucking dumbass who put the fucking electric blanket on it?
Murphy.
He's a fucking idiot.
Uh-huh. Well, Murphy or Mac.
That's where I started doing. I started doing like Gomer Pyle impression. Like, shoot, it's gotta be warm.
Right? Like, I don't want to look at it, so I'm gonna put this thing that I think is staring at me. I'm gonna put an electric blanket.
Did he
blanket
know about the electric blanket?
Yeah. Yes, because it was the one that he was using or something.
Yeah, he used it, plugged it in, turned it on, and then booted, put it up. All I'm thinking of is like Gomer Pyle. It's like,
well, golly, I just woke up the xenomorph.
Yeah, Sarge is going to be real proud of me. It's supposed to be mighty cold and nice. I'm going to go ahead and put the blanket on.
It's just, I'm
keep the alien warm.
Yeah.
I miss Pat Patton.
Yeah.
There wasn't Pat.
I know there was.
It wasn't the right Pat. Because this Pat was like the captain.
Yes.
He was like the, you know, Captain Squarejaw, everything. Yeah, we're doing everything right. See? Yeah.
There was two guys that looked very similar, at least in black and white. I had trouble telling them apart.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, aside from Carrington, the reporter, the very specifically the captain, everyone else was generic white dude.
There was one other guy.
Well, there was a secretary girl.
There was the girl.
Okay. And two women. We see one of the scientist's wives in one scene once for half a second, then we never see her again.
Yeah.
Then
sex pot secretary who likes bondage.
Nikki.
Yeah, she does.
She likes bondage. I was like, wait, you just found this fucking thing in the ice? Yeah. And the first thing you're gonna do is go tie up your boyfriend and force feed him liquor.
Yeah.
What?
Because this is a great idea, guys.
They didn't exactly have a plot, like a will they, won't they thing.
It wasn't a will they, won't they. They did. One doesn't remember it, and that's kind of how that works.
Yeah.
They remember it.
He doesn't.
He does remember it. He just, he was like.
He doesn't remember being the octopus, the handiest thing in the world.
No, because she was. The whole thing was, you know, he got up the next morning and she was gone. That was the whole thing. It's like, where the fuck did you go? And she's like, I had to bounce. And it was just like, this is 1951.
I think they debated a few times about getting together, maybe. But
yeah, he kept asking her.
It just didn't feel like a fully fleshed out relationship story.
No,
they were together for a little bit.
There was a lot of stuff.
Like, what was the point?
Yeah,
did they shoehorn that in?
There was a lot more relationship between him and his two underlings because they keep like ragging on him, they keep jabbing at him to get him to keep poking at the captain to make him mad.
There's one guy I don't know. Don't ask me names because I don't remember a fucking name in this. But there's a guy who is one of his underlings who has black hair and kind of a squarish jaw.
Yes.
Right.
Because he looks like a terrible Christmas movie actor that I know.
Yeah.
And I kept looking at him going, are you his father?
Yeah.
Like, did
Big Chin guy?
Yes.
He looked older than the rest?
No. This guy, he was about the same height as the captain,
had black hair.
But no, his hair was like,
Lieutenant Eddie Dykes.
He looked a little Hispanic. Like,
and
I thought he might be Hispanic.
Mac is the one who goofs up.
Now, I mean, the
I kept trying to find, pick out identifying characteristics when the movie starts. Well, I don't know who the fuck
it is. Well, there's the thing is, a lot of scenes that are black and a lot of things that you don't see. Like, when the thing comes out and starts walking around, they had to darken it because the makeup kept falling off. You know, so it's like they did that, and then they didn't have much money to go ahead and go around, so they had to get whatever shot they could.
Which, like, okay, I get that.
It's like, no third takes. Sometimes we don't get a second take, but no third takes.
But that's
because the girl got one.
Yeah,
that's the thing, though. It's something that that we've learned through cinematic history. That if you don't actually see the baddie, then the baddie is a bit more terrifying because it's the fear of the unknown.
Okay, and
because, like, you know, Michael Myers is terrifying.
Yeah.
And you see him, but he's almost always partially obscure. There's something weird about him.
Right, yeah.
When you shine a spotlight directly on the giant four-headed monster in this movie, it kind of loses a little bit of its own.
It's like the brain that wouldn't die.
Yep. Yes.
You know, like right at the very end of it where they show it, it's like clearly... The monster coming out of the closet clearly has a glued-on third googly eye on his cheek.
I can see the zipper on the back of your head. God damn
it. But that movie was better than this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, some of this was lost to time because when it was written, you know, one of the things they tried to portray was the, you know, it was set in Anchorage, Alaska, because at that point in time, Alaska wasn't a state yet.
Right, I know.
It was right around that time, so it was still a territory, but it was originally owned by Russia. And the monster was supposed to portray a metaphor for Russian sneaking into military bases.
I see where they may want to try that, but they missed the mark.
Because it was because it was a different thing, and I mean, I think nowadays we look at it through the 2023 range.
Was it supposed to be Antarctica? Because I was like,
It started in Anchorage, but the base that they go to, where most of the movie is set, is in Antarctica.
Okay,
it is.
They flew several hours out of it. Out of Alaska to go to this place.
Oh, yeah, because they can't see Russia from their house.
They're not hanging out with her.
They kept talking about going to the North Pole, though. They flew to the North Pole.
They're very close to it. They're in, like,
That's not Arctic. Antarctica. Antarctica is the South Pole.
Fine, then. They went up. Arctic. Okay.
Well, I guess...
they went to Arctica, I guess. Yeah. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
There's something I gotta say, though.
Okay.
They just say the North Pole. That's all they're saying is the North Pole.
So the monster is technically Santa?
Yeah. And all those little Santas we made along the way.
And the little buds of the elves.
Oh, no.
Santa is terrifying.
Yeah.
Santa's got a giant forehead.
Santa's a vampire. He's a vampire plant.
Okay.
It's a necromancer that brings gifts.
We'll get to that.
All right. So the thing with the, what I was hoping or expecting or whatever, because it's not like I've seen the 82, the thing, although I've seen scenes from it, so I know the gist. I feel like, I assume the monster looked like crap in this one because budget.
Yep.
They could not do any of the whimsical shit they did in the 82 one.
Right. Yep.
So, but I feel like they still could have made it, the concept work, if they had, like, shape-shifting alien possesses people or takes their form or whatever, so you get the whole suspense of infiltration, because that's what the 82 one was like, right? Yes. And then you expose the fake, and then it turned into a horrible abomination.
Holy shit, it could be a Fringe episode.
It's an X-Files episode, flat out.
In this one, instead, they went full, like, bunker down, we're gonna weather this storm, literally and figuratively, because there's a monster out there, too, and we're gonna...
Yeah.
This is, like, the only real tension is between Carrington, the head scientist who looks like he should be menacing the Robinsons, between him and the captain, because the captain wants to keep everything frozen. Yeah. The two of them are at each other's throats.
The worst part about it is I was on Carrington's side. Up until he started spouting the fact that science is more important than life.
We must die for science.
Knowledge is more important than than life. And I was like, without life, you can't have knowledge, you fucking idiot.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That didn't come out of left field exactly, but it seemed like he went a little extreme.
How long has he been at the North Pole at this point? Because I feel like he wasn't exactly...
Well, no, he was already there. He was there for a while. So he hasn't been sleeping.
So he cracked effectively. Yeah. Oh, and it's also kind of implied. They don't really say it, but it's implied that he's using his own blood to feed the
He started using his own blood. Yeah. And then,
That's why he's like,
oh, no, he needs a cookie.
Yeah.
He needs a cookie and a nap. He needs some orange juice and a nap.
Orange juice and a nap. That sounds great to me.
Yeah. Orange juice, bad, cookies, and a nap sounds fantastic.
Hell yeah.
See, this is what happens when you're a grown-up.
Don't grow up, kids. It's a trap. I was sold a terrible bill of goods.
But this... God. Okay, so... I feel like this movie wasted its potential, and I wonder if the original book had more of that infiltration thing, which would have worked wonderfully with the whole Red Scare of Russian.
It said
that the 82 movie is closer to this one. Is a they call this one more of an adaptation.
Like I said, they B-movied it up because we get the explanation of dubious science explained to us like it's a goddamn Mr. Wizard episode.
Should we go in order?
Yeah, okay. So the captain and his two, you know, schmuckamucks, we'll call them the Stooges, they are basically...
And Scotty
hired, half hired, half convinced to take a friend, a reporter friend, Scotty, with them to Antarctica for reasons.
Stuff, because he's going to
science and stories.
He wants to report and see what's going on.
I don't know if they know about the crash thing yet.
They've been through some shit together. The reporter and the captain.
He's covered wars, you know.
Yeah.
That's a deep cut that four people get.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So you've got these two guys, they're going with the crew or whatever, but they have, the two of them at least have some sort of relationship.
Yes.
They know each other, and then we get the secretary lady when we get there.
Scotty was amusing. I liked him. I could tell him apart from everybody.
Yes.
Because he's half bald and wears glasses on.
And he's the lankiest sumbitch in the whole movie.
And sometimes it's an amusing thing.
I hate to say it, but he looks like a reporter.
Yeah.
He looks like a reporter.
You have the good sense to shave the rest off.
Yeah. Though. Well, you know who that guy was, right?
No.
No, he played the boss in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay.
I just kept looking at him thinking it was like an upsettingly skinny version of Skinner from freaking X-Files.
Yeah.
But they gotta come from somewhere. Yeah, That's why I said this whole thing reminded me of a fucking episode of the X-Files, because guess what? They had one that was almost identical to this, where they're out in fucking Alaska or the North Pole, and there was a parasite that got into people and made them change their personality and kill people and shit. Yeah. And it was like you had to put an earwig into someone's ear because the two of them would fight each other because each host was a single entity, and if there were two in the same host, they would fight.
This is SETI Alpha 5. Oh.
Seriously, like this was the episode. It was like I think the first or second season. Mm. It's really sad that I remember these things, but it's almost like.
I see your inclusion of Yurks, which is like, you know, throw one out for Tobias.
I gotta watch that show more.
These people are going to...
The Animorphs committed war crimes.
I know!
Reporter and Air Force guys go to Anchorage.
They go to Anchorage.
To a place? I don't know.
Yeah.
To a base. Officers club.
To do things.
Yeah, and then you get the general that's telling people to close the door.
Close the door. It's two degrees outside.
Yeah.
Close the door. Now
you gotta yell at me.
I live in a barn.
I'll just get that when you get that random defiance. It's like, hey, do this. Not my dad. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some kind of commentary on the ineptness of bureaucracy or something.
Oh, buddy, because the general is so far behind throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
But there is also a technical reason for, you know, because there's a storm going on in the North Pole base or wherever it is. It couldn't be exactly the North Pole. I read that there's no land at the North Pole, just like ice. So is it a really thick ice sheet?
Possibly.
Or is it just near the North Pole? I don't know.
This is what it says in the thing. It says, General Fogarty orders Hendry to fly to Polar Expedition 6 at the North Pole per request of the lead scientist, Nobel laureate Dr. Arthur Carrington. So Dr. Arthur Carrington called the military and said, we need people here for something.
Oh, because, all right,
he discovered the thing in the ice. So, he called because he needs backup? ? I don't know.
It doesn't basically,
I don't think he knew it was a craft yet.
Yeah.
No.
Meteor activity.
Well, from what I took of it, like, when they were digging up the thing and looking at the ice, like, they had people who were experts and be able to figure it out.
Because we see them in real time figuring out, oh, it must be flying saucers because this thing is round, this impact spot.
Yeah, that was my interesting. First thought would have been a flying saucer.
I don't know. I would have thought. Well, I don't know. They talked about it. I thought they thought. Did they disprove it was a meteor first? I don't remember.
Well, I mean, they saw because there was a part sticking out of the ice.
Meteors rarely go back up for a minute. They had tracked it in this particular ship. Like, it looked like it tried to pull up and it just couldn't, and it crashed.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good reason.
To be quite honest, the beginning of the movie, I completely zoned.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't really start really paying attention until much later.
Now, this movie was kind of difficult to pay attention to, I admit it.
Yeah.
I forced myself to pay attention because I ended up streaming it with my free company, and like they basically forced me to pay attention because I can't figure out how to stream without like all of the sound from the computer going out. So it's not like I could have done something in another window because they would have heard it. It's just like, this motherfucker's watching YouTube. So I had to watch the whole thing.
He was forced to watch. See, this is what I have to do from now on. If I'm at work and we have to watch this separately, I have to make sure he watches it with his free company, because then I know he has to pay attention to it. Because when we sit down together to watch it, I am constantly going, put your phone down. If I have to watch this movie, so do you.
It's like at the very beginning of it, I was playing the movie and I was like watching Ashens in another channel, and one of my free companies, Red, he's just like, so, Ashens, huh? I'm like, fuck, you can hear that? Hold on.
It's like you again. So thank you to his free company, because when I'm not there, you have to babysit him. So thank you.
Thank you, Camp Blue Frog.
Lots of people introduced in black and white with similar haircuts.
In rapid succession.
Yeah. And it's Friday, and I just got off of work. I'm tired.
There's like 19 of them.
It's kind of hard sometimes to get into.
It was kind of like a Katherine Hepburn style talking, like in His Girl Friday. It's like rapid.
Oh, they were talking over each other, and I wondered how the hell the poor captioner was able to keep track.
But he multiple right.
watches that Damn. Poor bastard.
Like he did all right. Although I did notice that some of the captions did kind of like flow over each other. Like you get the first word from her thing like right after, like in the same chunk as his. I'm like, oh, you tried, buddy.
Yeah.
You tried.
I don't know. It's just that I think it's the same for everybody. At the very beginning of this movie, nobody was paying attention.
It wasn't
attention.
It didn't grab you.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I admit I zoned a lot.
I didn't really start paying attention to the dogs.
Yeah.
But, you know,
puppies. So they end up going out there and figuring out that it was some kind of craft that smashed into the ice and slid and like melted and refroze immediately into this big
dark circle.
Big circular just area. And they're like, oh, this is a metal we don't understand because of tail fins sticking out. And they all kind of figure out the shape of it. And they figure out there's a flying saucer. And everyone's like, mind blown, and like, okay, we need to get this thing.
I need to get the scoop out.
We need to get the scoop out. We need to get the thing out of the ice, and we need to bring it back. So what do we do? thermite.
They all thought it was stupid.
Blow this shit up, yeah.
I think most of the people present thought it was a stupid idea, but like, the higher-ups insisted.
Okay, how did I miss thermite?
They used thermite to try to get that thing out.
I missed that part. Apparently how the fuck did I miss protocol? Thermite? So I love thermite.
Thermite fixes everything.
If you want to burn through your entire house, use thermite. Just what? Don't have anything.
Why?
Because that's how thermite
it just
works.
Keeps going.
No, I mean, why would you?
Why would you want to? I don't know.
Spiders? Florida man
just
trying to.
Let's do
spiders?
An experiment. We'll start the thermite at the top of the house, burn it all the way to the bottom, just make sure it ends up in a fucking clay pot. Because it can't burn
through. It can't go through
terracotta
for some reason.
It cannot burn through terracotta. So, yeah, the things I know about thermite, guys.
I just remember
thanks,
thermite from.
I didn't learn about thermite from
Fallout
from Mythbusters.
What?
I didn't learn about thermite.
I did.
I didn't. Yeah. I learned
I didn't
about it from somewhere else.
I learned about thermite from Fallout in Vegas.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
I think.
I learned about thermite through YouTube.
I don't know much about it though.
Was it a main story quest or a side?
The DLC, I think.
Right. Old World Blues.
No, I think it was the one with the everyone.
The mad scientist, the TVs.
Oh, you can tell how we're interested.
The casino
in this
break-in
movie.
Thing. With
Oh god!
The ghoul with the tuxedo.
And dog and god and oh. Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Is dog
yes.
and god the same person?
Yes.
Backwards?
Yes.
Thank you. I figured that out and I don't even know.
How's
that?
He's also a super mutant.
That makes perfect sense
and he's
for
very,
the Fallout
and he's,
universe.
And he's quite well spoken.
Okay, then.
Well, it's only when he's god, though, right?
Yes. When he's dog, he's just.
He's basically multiple personality disorder and a mutant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's such a good idea. That would have been a better idea than this movie.
Okay, yeah.
The best super mutant is still Lily.
Yes.
Mm.
Where were we?
Okay, they're pulling.
They're going to try to get the thing out of the ice by blowing it the fuck up because, you know.
The higher-ups aren't even there,
yeah.
And that's protocol.
It's
so
like,
let's
this is
use
beyond, this is beyond our understanding. It's made of things we don't know. We don't know anything's inside of it. We don't know what it's capable of. Let's set it the fuck
let's
on fire.
Let's set it on fire. There are so many things in this movie.
America.
Okay, I feel like that is the start of kind of a theme of incompetent, not present protocol or
absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
Follow the protocol for this thing that we could not possibly have imagined would happen.
Right.
How can we have a protocol for this? Just follow the fucking protocol. What's the protocol? Wing it.
I feel like it's not, I don't know what the movie's trying to make any point. That is just a kind of a theme in there a little bit.
I don't know. The thing is, if they were trying to do this with the whole, you know, Russian thing, instead of making it a...
They wouldn't want to make the government look incompetent.
No, they'd want to make the Russian government
look
incompetent.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, instead of making it an alien, they should have made it a strange flying craft that had Russian symbols on it, and the thing that pops out of it is a Russian, you know, experiment rather than an alien. If they wanted to head that route, I would have understood it a little bit more, I think.
See, ironically enough, the Russian thing's going to come back in the last movie of this month.
But yeah, they didn't intend to destroy it. They just wanted to, I don't know, loosen up the ice, I guess?
Oh, God. If you're dealing with an interdimensional being or whatever.
What's an interdimensional?
I don't know. If you're dealing with an alien of some sort and you're dealing with technology that you're not aware of, don't fucking set it on fire!
But they do, in fact, set it on fire and
then
just destroy the entirety of the craft except for, like, a few scraps and a very perfectly frozen... I was frozen today. Alien in a block of ice.
Yeah,
they chip out.
Figured that the alien escaped during the crash and got frozen over there.
Oh, all right. I thought it was just like it came out of the craft and then immediately froze before it hit the ground or some shit. Okay.
I know it was surrounded by ice, so
yeah,
that makes
more sense.
I don't remember the specifics of what they said, but I think it was just like the alien, I don't know, maybe ejected or.
And yeah, I don't know why they kept bringing out the Geiger counter too.
Oh yeah,
because it's radioactive.
I guess,
radioactive. But
they did use it as a way to tell where the alien might be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was the alien motion tracker.
Fever is gone and got me down.
It's the motion tracker from Alien. It's like you can't see it, but you can
feel
it.
That's what I thought, but yeah. Anyway, once they blow up the fucking spaceship
and they're very disappointed, especially poor Carrington, because he was all like, oh my god, this priceless knowledge.
Because he's like, science and knowledge, because that's his entire life is science and knowledge.
And, you know, and they're fighting about, like, what to do with the thing, and they're just going to leave it in, like, the cold storage for now, keep it on ice, and they're like, but we have to study it, we have to get it out, and they're, you know, again, they're at each other's throats.
Oh, okay. It could be dangerous and have carry disease germs. Right. Now, here's the deal.
Here's where I'm like, all right, guys.
It's unpasteurized. Like,
I don't know, I got a point, though.
My whole thing at this point was like, okay, you pulled this thing out of the ice, you've got it in cold storage because you're not sure what it is or what you could do.
You have to wait for your higher-ups to tell you what to do, but and the connection's bad.
Not even just that, though. It's like, if you're going to study this thing, maybe you want to do it in a proper lab and not...
Yeah, exactly.
Not an Arctic... In the cold place where they have nothing but generators running everything.
Yeah, yeah. I want to know how the greenhouse worked.
Yeah, you know, I
mean, unless it's like artificial heat lamps and artificial lighting, like, okay, with especially with the kind of weather that is typical up there, you're not getting that much sunlight.
And the fact it's not that they have to lock it much. They have to lock it up because of indigenous people.
Yeah.
But they use the E word.
They use the word that we're not supposed to use no more.
Yeah.
Even if they are delicious pies.
Okay. Well, their arguments, they had a plethora of different good arguments about what to do. Because, well, one is if you defrost this thing, it could be, well, some organisms survive being frozen. It could be dangerous.
Right.
Even if
it... Or it could be benevolent. Try to talk to it. It's
well,
it's
they don't know knowledge what's, first is vast they don't know ours. It's alive, but it could have some sort of disease right. or something.
So even if it doesn't want to attack them, that they could still get contaminated.
Right. It's dormant right now. Let it stay dormant.
But I think Carrington's point, aside from just wanting to study it, and I think he might have been concerned about damage from the cold.
Yeah, probably, but it's already been encased in ice.
Yeah,
I
feel like it wouldn't do much more damage.
No, I don't think it would. I think
the ice crystals would have... It stopped growing.
I'm not going to say the word particulate, but...
you just did.
I've heard that so much. Particulates. Okay, look. I
haven't said phalanges.
I like bones. I really do.
Phalanges.
I like bones. I do. No one talks like that.
Isn't that the point?
Nobody.
But I need to swab it for particulates.
They all do. Like if this was one, if this was just specifically a thing that bones does, literally everyone but.
Maybe that's why they
Angel,
all
whatever his name is.
David
Boreas.
Booth. Yeah. Everyone but Booth. Talks like they're just like filtered through a textbook.
The whole point of it is that you're surrounded by anthropologists and scientists from the Jeffersonian Institute.
Who clearly have gotten jobs doing their special interests.
Right, and that's... Yeah. And they're all scientists and super geniuses in their own right. So they're all going to talk weird. Booth
So it's
is,
Eureka.
Yes, except in one small area. And it's only one small group of people, but you...
And Eureka isn't plagued by death.
Yes, it is.
not every episode.
Okay,
no.
Movie.
But yeah, yeah. Anyway.
I am your... not your phone. I am the anti-phone.
No, it's...
Focus.
It's fine. I actually have the wiki up so I can continue to remind myself what happened. I just, like I said, I didn't really pay attention until the dogs came in. And I was like, oh, dogs.
They put, like, the military guys on, like, 4-hour watch on this thing, staying in the room, frozen room.
And they broke a window open to make sure the room stays cold.
And to be quite honest, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
It really is. Except for the fucking moron who puts the electric blanket on it.
Mac is just like Mac all about it. And he sees this thing in the ice and it's creeping him out. So he throws a blanket over it, not realizing it's the electric blanket.
But he's not realizing that it's still plugged in, is what it is.
Yeah.
And it melts the creature.
And he gets right out and he immediately jumps up and goes, brah!
Oh,
and Mac freaks out and
shoots
it 16 times.
Six times.
With, I'm sorry, the gun... that he, I know it's like a regular kind of like military pistol, but just with the angle and the camera and just the way the shadows were, I swear to God, he took out Deckard's pistol from Blade Runner. I'm like, it's that gun. Son of a bitch.
Okay, this scene right here, when he pulls the gun out and he runs out and he runs into like, he's yelling, like, yeah. Captain.
Get the thing,
and,
oh my God.
And the first thing he does, he runs into a room full of military guys, and he points the gun at the captain.
I'm just like, what the
right.
And I'm like, the captain doesn't even attempt to try to disarm him.
Yeah,
he is well,
the captain just kind of calmly takes it from him.
But he just walks up. I'm sorry, some he's dude runs in with a gun? Guy. To me right now, my first reaction is, can you put the gun down?
Yeah.
Well, it's also a good military.
My first reaction is the katana's
right
there.
You should have learned in, like, 101 not to point if you don't intend to.
But you learn, but you also learn if somebody's pointing a gun at you to not get an emotion of it with it.
Which is fair.
So, yeah, so when they see that, they're just like, okay, and they just quietly disable it.
You can see that he's obviously panicked, and the fact that he's waving the gun around at torso level and pointing to everyone still should give you a bit of pause.
Yeah.
Just a bit. Like,
So either way,
he is super panicked.
The thing is loose, and it's like...
And it's out.
And it's out, and then nobody knows what's going on, who's doing what, and
they get attacked by the dogs.
Yeah, I love the running gag of the guy in the radio room is always the last to hear about anything. He's like, hold on, it's up and moving? Like, we're like,
when did
10
this
minutes,
happen?
10 minutes to the end of the movie, and this poor guy in the radio room's like, what, it's awake? What the fuck?
That's some good subtle satire if it's meant to be.
Right.
Exactly.
See, it had potential.
There was, even with the story, there was potential. It was just, I don't know.
And it's another. The potential gets realized in 82.
Yes. Yeah. I think my whole thing for like the past couple of months is, it was executed poorly.
Yep. I saw what you were trying to do, but you missed.
Yes. But like the thing when it's waking up, the dogs are barking. Like the whole animals figure out. Plus, is this what dogs do in like the snow and stuff? Do they really bury themselves in snow to keep warm?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was just like,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, like, they're popping. Huskies, they start popping out of the snow.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just
huskies
like,
huskies love being out in the snow.
No, I was just like weird.
If there's a storm outside, bring those poor dogs in.
That's what I was thinking.
Now, dogs love the cold, but don't leave them out in a goddamn blizzard.
No, blizzard. Yeah.
Bring them inside.
And like I'm saying, they're burying themselves in the snow to keep warm. And I'm like, these poor dogs.
Yeah. It's the way that they do that is it creates that insulation, like that igloo form.
You know, I get it. Because that's why you can't put things in the freezer in certain ways, because if you pack them around, the thing in the middle won't freeze.
Right.
Happens with freeze pops a lot.
He was like, you want some really, really cold freeze tube?
Is that a thermonuclear reaction?
What?
No.
The alien has been... Mac notes that when he shot the alien, it didn't really react or anything.
No.
Yeah, it didn't seem to give a shit.
And then the thing goes outside.
It's outside.
And the dogs swarm.
The dogs swarm, but at the same time...
At this point, we didn't have to see the alien very much.
No, but it loses...
We just see just like his, like an outline, and the dogs...
It loses an arm. Rah, rah, rah.
And then we see the dogs getting slapped around. I'm like, pupper, no.
Puppy, no. And then one dies, and I'm like, puppy, no.
Two of them did.
I know. One later, I wasn't talking about that one just yet.
So
So the critter ends up losing an arm. One of the dogs rips it off, and it just like fucks off into the snow. So they bring the arm into the
Carrington,
and then we have Dr. Carrington's super fun time science hour as 17 people.
Dump. Yes,
as 17 people are hovered around a table. That has one guy clearly underneath it going, like reaching up through the table with the claw so that the claw can move. And everyone is just really awkwardly crowded around the table.
And one guy whose head is,
well, this is
obviously
this is,
blocking.
It's like, this is botany. This is plant science. Or this is your field of expertise. And then it's just like cold, like just
science.
Dry science of what these plants can do and the thing, and the thing was just like, oh my
okay,
god.
Okay, now I enjoyed this is Mr. that Wizard. Part, mm. but I enjoyed that part because I'm like, okay, let's try to explain away this thing with some of the science. All right, so it's a live plant, and then they start bringing up different plants that do things that are similar, which are boo, real plants. That's why I made the joke to you. It's like, oh, look, it's the beginning of the happening.
This is what happened with the happening where the trees got mad.
When the trees got mad.
Spoiler warning for the happening. The trees are mad.
No, we're going to spoil the shit out of that right now. Yeah. It's fucking trees.
The plants,
okay?
Guys.
Mark Wahlberg going, what? No, it's not worth watching that movie. We're not talking about that movie. Fuck it.
The trees are mad.
It's stupid.
Of the Silvari from Guild Wars 2. But they have lots of plenty of emotion. I don't know what Carrington, where he gets off making all these assumptions about they're cold and logical and better than us. It's like,
I mean,
dude, you're dumb.
Dude, you sound like the...
They're voiced by Jennifer Hale. Of course they're better than us.
He sounds like, Oh, fuck, I lost it. I had it
like
and I
he
lost
hates
it.
Humans
and... Not just that. But he sounds like the villain from the fourth Indiana Jones movie was like, knowledge! Aliens! Knowledge! Knowledge! All I want
I don't know
is
what
all
you're talking
knowledge.
About. There are only three.
I'm just like, when does
there are only
Poison
three
Ivy
indie
show
movies.
Up? That's fucking Crystal Skull bullshit. What? I was like, when is Poison Ivy gonna show up?
Right? Like, potential.
I'm
there
just
was
saying.
Potential.
See, the thing with the plants not having nerves is because they're stationary. If this plant evolved into an ambulatory creature, I'm pretty sure it would need a system of telling it not to bump into shit.
Right, it needs some sort of circulatory system.
It bleeds sap, and apparently it needs human blood. So how did this...
Yes! Why?
To eat and reproduce and to just be, because it's the blood of, well, mammal blood, I guess, because it was the blood of the dogs first that really got it, you know, regenerating.
Yeah, it needs animal blood
in the people, yeah.
Mm.
So, how did the plants end up making the spaceships on that planet? Or was this like a fungal infection?
It's T'Chanka. They're from T'Chanka.
Where the rabbits develop nukes?
Yes. I'm just saying it's T'Chanka. Even the plants on that planet are carnivorous.
Remember, the Krogan are prey animals.
Right, that's what
their
I'm saying.
Their eyes are
it's
on
like,
the sides of their head.
Yeah, that's what I'm
really?
Saying. It's yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Who the hell preyed on them?
Did you ever play Mass Effect 3?
Yes.
Kalros.
Kalros, the
mother of all Thresher moths.
Thresher
the one
moths.
That ate a reaper.
It's like a giant, it's like Dune.
Yeah. I just remember picking between three or so endings. I picked the green one.
Oh, so you
synthesis.
You
forced
cyborginess on everybody.
Forced everyone to be a cyborg.
Everyone will go get along, I guess.
I guess
we pick control.
I guess our shepherd, like the story of ours, the only one that made sense was control.
Yeah,
because shepherd would be the only one who could.
No, the red one
control
is
blue.
Oh.
Red is destroy.
Red is destroy, where you destroy all the reapers and then you're fucking everybody
with. You destroy all the reapers. You also strand the Turians on Earth.
All of them.
Every single person on the Citadel is trapped on Earth, and guess what? There's a lot of Dextros out there.
So they can't
You've
eat.
Killed off most of the Quarians because they had cybernetics, and you have destroyed the entirety of the Geth.
Yep.
So
Bad ending. I don't like it.
Thanks to Mass Effect games, whenever aliens go to eat something, I'm just like, how do you know they can eat the... Come on!
Right. It's like, what's your... You know,
what's your
diet based on? Like,
are you dextro or are you
the other
Levo?
Thing.
Levo,
yeah.
We're Levo. Levo amino acids. They're Turians and Quarians are dextro.
Like drinking that alien booze, you might get poisoned.
You do get poisoned.
Exactly. Yeah. In Mass Effect,
well,
because they know what they're doing.
Fucking Ringcall, man.
You drink Ringcall, and it's like ground glass. It fucking is down.
And you're supposed to die, but you have plot armor. I guess.
Yeah, because
that's it. That's in two.
Oh.
In the first one, you can just keep telling, like, the barkeep to just keep giving you more and more booze, and eventually you just wake up in the bathroom.
Put the stuff in
it's
the
like,
thing
that is
goes...
certainly green.
And then you wake up in the bathroom with and Tali.
Tali and Garrus are
I don't think it's Garrus. Is it Garrus?
It depends on who's in your party. So you have Tali. So for us, it's Tali and Garrus just judging you in the bathroom, just like, are you done?
Occasionally Liara. But, oh, no, we can't talk about Mass Effect. I'll be doing this for hours. So,
Mass Effect, I'm...
Okay, but anyway. Yes. So where were we? Oh, yeah, dogs eat, you know.
Yeah, they were having, you know, happy, fun science time in like, the lab or whatever, and...
Again, Carrington, why do you think not having emotions would happen or be good? This dude drives seeking behavior and, you know, the things that a creature needs to be ambulatory.
I hate to say, but he's essentially Dr. Brennan.
Yeah.
Of course. Don't you know anything about science?
She would know better, but her argument would be quite the same. But she wouldn't rave at the end about how knowledge is more important than
At that point, he's cracked. He's cracking currently. But at that point, he's
emotional.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Now, I thought a lot about emotion versus logic and stuff, and I don't think you can really function without being driven in any direction, and you need emotion and desire for that.
You need emotion and desire to continue doing anything.
Exactly!
To get out of bed in the morning, you need emotion and desire. So,
I run mostly on spite.
Yeah, well, but that's still an emotion.
Yes!
It's like, it's...
I run mostly on spice.
You also have to remember that this is the 1950s, and men are not supposed to be emotional.
Right.
Yeah.
This movie was written for the World War II veterans that still remember this, sort of like the ones that were, you know, not quite there. So it's like they're looking at it like, oh yeah, this is what it was like.
Bites Carrington in the ass, so he's not right.
No, I never said he was. I'm just
about, whatever.
Well, about the very end. Like I said, I was on mostly his side, but I still thought that they should get this thing to an actual laboratory.
Exactly.
And not do it in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Well, now they don't have much choice because, you know, Matt's stupid blanket.
Right. So then he starts...
It's trapped in the greenhouse, I think, and the armor generated...
Yes, the arm. Well, they find. They go to the greenhouse that's locked up. They unlock the door.
They throw the door open. The guy's just fucking standing there, like, excuse me, fucking rude. He swings at him and they slam the door in his face. This is pure D&D party situation. It's like, I open the door, there's orcs in there. I close the door.
Is this before or after Carrington finds that there's seeds in the hand?
I think this I think this is during.
Okay.
Yeah, they happen very close to each other. I just know that they open up the greenhouse before they even find him in there. They open up the greenhouse and be like, this is where strawberries are. And then then they find the dog.
That's so random.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because
they find the dog in sort of hidden.
Yeah,
exsanguinated. Yeah. It's exsanguinated.
Yeah. In some kind of box.
In like a storage container or something. I don't know. It's against the wall. They open it up. They find a dog drained. That's what exsanguation means.
I feel like
drain all the blood.
I feel like the prop was good. I mean, we didn't see it, but just the quick, I'm like a little surprised that, because most of this movie you don't see much and it's not very gory.
Right.
But that was just kind of like, ew. That's
right.
Like a gross roadkill thing.
But you know what? It worked because they made it look close enough like a dog to make you think it was a dog without actually giving it... I think a lot is said about movies in black and white because it can hide a lot of things.
Yeah.
Also, it's from the 50s. Who's to say they didn't use actual dog fur?
I don't know when that started.
I don't want to think about it,
but it's...
No,
but
thank you.
It's a...
Recycled fur coat, maybe? I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. You could go to a groomer if they had... Do they have groomers in the 50s for dogs? I doubt it.
I don't know. Probably? Maybe?
I don't know. But they could have... But my point I'm trying to say is the prop is good enough looking that in black and white, it looks like a dead dog.
Yeah,
without having to go into too much detail.
That got a little mutilated.
Yes.
It looks like roadkill.
There's no blood because it drank all the blood. Because it's a vampire plant.
We never got to see this, but we heard about, oh yeah, two of our colleagues were strung up upside down with their throat slit, drained of blood.
Right.
Mm. It's like, yes, movie, tell, don't show.
No, but would they... I don't know.
Yeah, that annoyed the hell out of me. Not that we didn't see it.
I mean, if it's a horror movie, I want to see a guy get taken the fuck out. Or that's the point of a horror movie. Yeah.
You don't see the guy taken the hell out. You open the door and find the guy hanging upside down dead.
Yeah.
Well, how much could they have shown in a movie like that, though?
But they could have done
what TV shows like a do.
Silhouette.
And do a silhouette where
the shadow wears what...
There's light coming into a room, and then there's a shadow of a dude hanging upside down, and maybe something dripping from him, but you don't see anything.
And they
from
wouldn't
it.
Show that because the code, the Hays code, was still kind of in effect at that time, so they wouldn't quite show it at that point. But like, it shows something like in Waiting, you know, where they turn into the freezer and the guy's hanging with his pants down.
Right, or
something like
just they open. Yeah. You see, like you see black, and then a door opens, and you have white with them standing in the background, and then they just go and do facial features, but you don't actually.
Suggestion. Yeah,
and maybe
fringed.
I agree. Oh, yeah. I agree with you. Yeah,
like maybe you find a puddle of blood on the floor, but you don't actually show the guy hanging.
Yeah, no blood in this movie.
Right,
yeah.
there's no real blood.
Well, you see a couple of smeared on.
You
the,
see some dark spots on the dog, but beyond that, you don't really see much. Even the guy who gets slashed and stumbles into the mess hall later it's a remarkably bloodless slash.
Even the bottles of plasma that he has hanging up for the plants later on are not dark.
Oh, wait, that's because plasma is pale, isn't it?
Yes,
but one was dark, and I figure that's the regular blood, and then the lighter one was the plasma.
But they never actually show a laboratory that he's able to actually, you know, divide it.
Your drain, yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, he took it from, like, the nurse supplies or something.
Yeah, but there has to be some place on there that allows them to separate the hemoglobin. I don't know. You never see it.
I don't know how you do that. So
it's
kind of beyond me.
He planted his seeds, and he's growing little aliens.
He's growing aliens, like because this is a good idea.
He sowed his wild oats. Wait, hold on. And these things are like these weird pod things are like
they have
pulsating, and they have
and they're crying inside.
Sounds
crying.
Like the shriek of a child. Like that's
child
not at all horrifying.
With a hungry cry.
Oh, they could only hear it with a stethoscope, I think.
Right, because they see these little buds, like, pulsing.
I'm just kind of wondering, what gave them the idea to stick a stethoscope?
Because you see something pulsing, you automatically maybe want to think if there's a heartbeat or something inside of it.
I was thinking
I need
of breathing,
to do,
so...
I need to do something vaguely sciencey. I'm going to stick a stethoscope to it.
What is the other thing? The other thing, too, is the... Okay, he's been complaining the entire time that he doesn't know if this thing is... like hostile or not, or if it wants to befriend, he wants to talk to it. My first reaction to that is, okay, fine, you want to try to communicate with it, great. Don't breed it just yet.
I know.
Right.
Just
yeah, we don't know what this thing is, and I've kidnapped its children.
Right. Yeah. It's like don't breed it. What you doing?
Yeah, the others are like, what do you want to do? Have a make it let it start an army?
Set it on fire. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Set it on fire. I became very American at the end of this movie. Because usually I'm like, okay, you know, maybe they have their reasons or whatever else. But then it's like, oh no, this thing's on a murder spree and it just wants to eat everybody. Set it on fire. Just set it on fire.
Yeah. Cleansing.
I'm usually not on the government side, and this time I was like, set it on fire.
Yep. You're on the human side.
Yeah. That thing's gross. So kill it with fire.
Kill with fire. Thanks.
And then you become a Florida man story.
Yep.
Or, I don't know, that's happened all over the country where someone's like, oh god, an infestation, let's try fire.
Right.
And then they end up on the What the Fuck Is Wrong With You podcast.
Okay, some of my favorites are they try to set a wasp nest on fire. Now they're being chased by fiery wasps.
Oh no!
Who thought that was a good idea?
Wasps are actively on fire. It's just like, you have only made the situation worse for yourself.
Bees. This situation needs bees.
No, it doesn't.
A shitload of bees will resolve it.
He's got a briefcase.
Let's give him a shitload of bees.
He
That's God. I just hear a shitload of bees, and my brain goes to Dragon Age Inquisition. I'm just like, I'm throwing bees at people.
Okay, but that's different.
It's the best way to do nature damage.
Agreed. But that's, again, different.
Jar of bees. The only reason we keep Sarah around.
Yeah, because I don't like her.
So they're mad at him, but he's... Yep. Oh, and they find out he hasn't been sleeping.
That's just it. He hasn't been sleeping. He's been in the lab this whole time, which, okay.
Just can't talk him into it.
And he's so tired that he can't speak. So he has his secretary read his journal findings to people. Yeah. Because he's so tired he can't talk. But the man won't go to bed.
She tries to convince him, but he's addicted to that sweet knowledge dopamine, I guess.
He's so...
There's something dopey about
him. He's so tired that he's lost, rationale.
Any semblance of perspective.
Yes. And sleep deprivation can do that to you.
Yeah.
Trust me. You lose a lot of your senses and your mental capacities from not sleeping.
I told a story once where it's like I stayed up 4 days straight to finish a paper in college, and like next thing I know, waking home, I'm at home the next day, waking up. I still have no idea how the hell I got home.
Yeah, being up for days at a time is. It takes a toll on you.
The Nightcrawlers!
I do it all the time. This is my everyday life.
The longest stretch of no sleep at all that I've ever had was right after my senior prom that I got kicked out of the after party of. So after party from Denny's, we decided, fuck it, we're going to stay up all night.
See, you did.
Forever.
I went home and went to bed.
And then there was like this competition. There were like six of us to see who could actually stay up the longest.
Yeah.
My nearest competition dropped at about 60 hours straight being awake. And I would have dropped immediately afterwards had I not been at work.
So this is adventures of Pete and Pete with teenagers.
I was literally just... barely conscious, standing at the register at Shaw's going, beep. Yeah.
See, beep. How did you want to do that?
I got home at 6 a.m.
I was 18 and stupid.
See, I got home at 6 a.m. From that same after party and went, I'm going to take a shower, which I did, and then I'm going to go to bed, which I did. And then I got up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and had the rest of the day off because I took the day after prom off.
Good idea.
Yeah, I didn't.
For a reason.
I had to work that day, and it was a situation.
No. But anyway, so doctor's losing his mind.
Oh, yeah. Sleep deprivation.
The alien is... they basically are trying to come up with a way to...
Did the generators go out yet?
Not yet. That's where we're heading. They're talking about how... the furnaces have stopped, and they've been sabotaged because they start noticing their breath. She does, actually, the secretary.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, hey, don't you guys notice something's up?
Yes. That was quite clever, yeah.
I forgot what
it was a good idea. Line.
Did they speak English in what? Wrong movie, sorry.
No, it's fine.
This post made me say, what so much? I got shot by Samuel L. Jackson.
But yeah, so she looks around, she's like, you guys haven't noticed anything weird? And then she sees her own breath, and they're all like, it's cold.
Oh, shit, right.
And they're like, why is it cold? And it's like, because the generators are out. And not the generators, the heating system.
Yeah.
The furnaces are out. So that's when they're like, oh, shit, you know what happens when the furnaces go out? Then we have to start using electricity to heat, which is going to overtax our generators. So this is eventually going to freeze us out.
Yeah, didn't they only have like maybe 24 hours?
Yeah, we've only got so much time. Like, condense everybody into one room to try to preserve as much heat as we can, which is a topic that comes up again in our last movie of the month. Mm. Trying to conserve the heat and this, condense everyone into one spot. We'll get to it. Get to it. I'll go through the list at the end of the episode.
But so yeah, so they're like, oh shit, this alien has intelligence. It's, it's not an escaped animal, essentially.
Well, they do that since they found the ship.
Right. I'm just thinking in Alien versus Predator, you don't know which one's the smart one.
Spoiler, they both are.
Yep. Different reasons, though. Mm-hmm. In different ways. But
Yeah, so they're like, oh, this thing, you know, it's sabotaging us where it doesn't want to... It basically, it's telling everybody else except the scientist, hey, this is bad. This thing's trying to kill us.
So
and he's, and
the
he's
scientist
still
like...
was like,
we must speak to it.
We must speak to it.
Think
we
of
must,
the secrets that have been... That
the
are,
science, come, the science and the
we must sacrifice
and,
lives for,
yeah.
science.
For science.
We're going to do something incredibly stupid and not tell
yeah.
anyone else we're doing it.
Yeah, and this got me back in a little bit. I'm like, okay,
right.
who's going to die? And then
right.
I'm thinking, like, if this was a Tarantino movie, the monster would just came in and, like... Or expected, like, if it was, like, a comedy show or something, the monster came in, looked, and just argued, like, and just fucked off and left.
I drew a comic when I was, I think, 11 or 12 years old, and it was just a one-page comic with a couple panels on it.
Yeah.
And it was a, like, the inside of a spaceship with two aliens.
Yeah.
And one of them says to the other, we came to Earth looking for intelligent life. Oops, we made a mistake. I was 12. And this is deep.
Yeah.
So, and so, I, the only thing I can think of while watching this part is, not wrong. because, you know, essentially, they, you know, they all go to the generator room and it turns into a trap.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, they electrify the hallway to zap the living shit out of the monster.
Yeah.
And I forgot why, because, well, besides, it's impervious to bullets.
It's impervious to bullets. Setting it on fire just sets the rest of the camp on fire as well. And
yeah.
that turns out to be
oh,
a
yeah.
terrible
when they,
idea.
When they did that, that was actually the very first time a fireproof suit was used on film.
Yeah,
that's
that
cool.
Was a,
yeah.
That was a cool effect, too.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But as this
really?
Is going on,
yeah, that was the very first time it was.
What about film. What about Buster Keaton?
No, the
they just set him on fire.
The fireproof suit. That was I'm sorry, a full body fireproof suit.
Oh, okay.
So there's yeah, you're right. Buster Keaton did use some of that, but it wasn't. Well, he just really just lined his coat with asbestos.
Yeah. Wasn't it,
so it
wasn't
really
like asbestos
like,
and like the gel stuff that
yeah.
they had to
well,
try
I
to,
just know that
yeah.
The in the film, the intertitle said that he made asbestos BVDs.
Yeah.
And
oh
then,
my God.
Yeah,
and then they
yeah.
tied him to a stake and burned him.
Yeah, he just lined himself with
and
asbestos
just like, oh.
and just did that. So it wasn't really like.
I'm on fire.
Asbestos.
No, but yeah. But with Buster, the difference is this one had a full body suit.
Oh, okay.
You know, different things.
So the alien was wearing clothes.
Sort of.
It looked like a jumpsuit,
yeah.
sort of.
Yeah.
Like a, you know.
Like a, maybe
yeah.
a flight
like
suit
a,
or something.
Yeah. A space onesie.
Yeah.
Like that, like next gen.
That's why I was so confused when it showed up, because I was like, is that just a guy? Like
mm-hmm.
a really tall guy?
When he first showed up, I'm just like,
he's a tall guy.
He's the maintenance
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
He's just he's dressed like a janitor.
I was just like, who is this person?
I was thinking in the thing in the ice kind of resembled like a rubber, one of the grays.
Yeah.
Yes.
It
I think it had clothes. Though.
It was scragglier. Yeah. It was like,
you couldn't
just
see
what
it
you could see, couldn't see it very well, but what you could see was like stretched out and thin.
And
yeah. Not this big old
dark
like,
eye.
Lump
right.
of a dude.
Yeah.
I was just like, I was like, are they trying to lure this person in because they were outside this whole time? Or
right.
who is this
well,
person?
I figured out.
I didn't.
It
took me a second, which I was just like, wait,
it's,
that's not the... Is that
it's
the
monster. Look, he's got
monster?
Sad eyes. He doesn't want to be here either.
And
now these assholes
again,
have set him on fire.
At this particular point, again, I zoned out a little bit. So
yeah.
I was just like, oh, wait, who's this?
So yeah, they electrify the entire hallway. And they're gonna try to, you know, zap the shit out of the monster. But Carrington turns off the generator
yep.
and runs out and goes, "Please, please, talk to us. We need to know all of your secrets.
Yeah.
And we mean you no harm." And then the monster just
alarmed and
has
fucking
the
backhands
biggest
him.
Wind up you've ever seen. And Carrington's a goddamn mincing idiot. Just bam, knocks him halfway across the room.
Like, you should have approached calmly.
Instead of running up, no.
Also,
science!
Also, you're speaking English to it.
I know.
Right?
Well, he was like, I think he thought maybe his gestures would somehow communicate. He must understand.
You must understand.
Like,
everybody speaks English.
Yeah.
The whole world speaks English, which means that galaxies will speak English. This is me being sarcastic.
To be fair, the British started it. They started the trend of just yelling in English.
Every time we watch the Orville, I'm just like, why do all these people know this? Even on the planets that don't, the krill, why do they know it?
Babblefish?
Universal translators?
Go to a new planet that you've never contacted before? English.
I got nothing. It's a trope.
Yeah.
I know.
And I gotta say, when he gave the backhand, it reminded me, and I gotta give like old school WWF style. Like,
yep. It was pretty cool.
Diesel, who was Kevin Nash, smacking Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
When they had the rivalry, and it was just him, this little tiny dude, and 7 foot tall, bam, and then do like. But Shawn Michaels selling it so well that he flipped out of the ring.
Okay, yep. Kevin Nash has been eternally ruined for me because of Magic Mike.
I get your point. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not so much that I still like him.
Yeah.
It's just after I've seen him as a stripper.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
that's all you can see.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. My mother, God rest her soul, whatever God there is, she would have lost her shit. Let's just put it that way.
In the good way or the bad way?
Probably a good way. She loved Kevin Nash.
He's so old. Yeah, he is.
I know.
He is.
He looks like a version of.
Well, no.
No.
I'm not giving my dad that much credit.
Anyway. Your poor dad.
I love you, Dad.
But anyway.
He asked me how to download podcasts the other
day. Oh, no. No,
I gotta be nice.
Oh no!
So they, the alien gets shocked and set on fire, and
he's having a real bad time of it, and they're just continually zapping the shit out of this poor thing.
Well, you can't poor thing.
Yeah, I mean,
poor thing. I half expect what a world, and I'm gonna be perfectly honest. If this thing came here to annihilate humankind, I'm on his side.
Yeah,
right now, yeah.
I side with Ultron. Spends 30 seconds online and decides to destroy humanity. You know what, man? I get it.
Yeah.
You don't want to join the Leopards Ate My Face party.
Oh no, the Leopards Ate My Face.
Yeah.
That's because Ultron didn't meet Bruce Willis. If Ultron had met Bruce Willis, then everybody would have been okay, because apparently Bruce Willis can talk, the most powerful being in the universe out of everything. Including saving the world.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's a
We're
just talking about all sorts of movies except this one.
Yeah, and when they get the lightning and it's striking, and, like, I wanted to see, like, as the monster's, like, shrinking, you just wanted, like, a little bit of cartoon.
To be honest, the lightning electricity part there, that wasn't so
pretty
bad.
Pretty good effect.
Not too bad,
I just kept thinking of how most Hulk Hogan movies end.
Yeah. The same. I was the exact same. I was like, oh, this is another Hulk Hogan movie.
We are keeping up the pattern.
But at least this time it was intentional. Right. Not just, I grabbed the electricity, I'm dead.
Whoops-a-doodle, zort.
It's like, no, you walk into a trap and it turns into a big pile of ash.
And, yeah. Well,
basically, we get to all the survivors, which is most everybody except for those two scientists.
Wait, before this happens, though, right after the thing gets electrocuted, they all turn and look at the reporter, and the reporter passes out. Because he's like, look, here's your story.
He's seen a lot of shit, but this was just a little too much.
Nope.
All right, after that, it's him dictating a very nice.
Look to the skies. Be vigilant. Yeah. We're all fucked.
Essentially
his story.
Yeah, I have that ending line here, though. So the weather's closed. Scotty finally able to file his story of a lifetime to the room full of reporters in Anchorage here. Tell the world, tell everybody, wherever they are, watch the skies. Keep looking. Watch the skies.
I just remember seeing that in The Simpsons with that Leonard Nimoy in The Simpsons.
Yes.
So I'm like, what?
Holy crap, you're right.
So I just found the notes that I attempted to take while watching this. While watching this yesterday. And I was a couple edibles deep. Let me read to you my notes. Scotty-reporter, Mac and Bob, angry broccoli, doof.
What?
I don't know what I don't know what doof is supposed to be, but that's what I wrote.
Was it the effect of your brain just slowing down?
I hate to say it, but when I got home, he was already asleep. Yeah. So last night, so I was just like, I hope he's okay.
Was it your brain just effectively hitting like that feeling? You're like,
hey, good night.
That you just wrote it?
Like, I guess.
Oh, something I just thought of. Sometimes I felt like the music was trying to blow its load too early.
The music was just like, oh, now.
You know, when they first discover the dark, giant dark spot in the ice, and it's like they're playing bah, bah, da, 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 it's like, what are you doing? No!
It's like the full orchestra is just losing their shit. It's like, man, we've barely started.
And so at first I was thinking that that was maybe edging, but now I realize that it was just premature.
Yeah. And then it's quiet for a while, and it's after about 15 minutes or so, the sound starts to come back. And, you know,
after it's had a little rising,
juice. It's a rising crescendo after it's had a bit of a, you know, a bit of a juice box and a nap. It's good.
But I feel like it didn't do that all the time. It was noticeable in the beginning.
The fact that the soundtrack had a refractory period is just...
Oh, God!
We watched this movie so that we could watch better ones.
Yeah.
And also, Captain and Nikki are gonna get together, I guess?
They're gonna, like, live alone together, I guess.
Something, I don't know.
To call back to last.
So, at least it wasn't one of those super abrupt endings where it's like, Monster's dead, the end.
Monster's dead, the end. Oh, a thing. Now the end.
Metro Watch
the sky. Everything's terrifying. The end.
Except this was RKO Pictures.
RKO Pictures, which we kind of keep into the theme. Rolling from last month.
It is a good bridge. Yeah, it is a good bridge. You're right.
All right. So with that, I figure we'll take a quick break.
We do want to say one thing. We've been doing the we've been using the same ad for a while with 4041 Media. People have asked, like, we can't find you on Twitter. We deleted Twitter a while back.
Yeah, Twitter. Twitter's been a dumpster fire forever. Yeah. And I'm not getting on X now.
Yeah,
no,
like,
thanks.
I got on.
I've been trying to get a Blue Sky account, but that you got to be invited in, and I'm not special.
Yeah.
So that's gonna take.
So you could probably find us on Threads eventually.
Indeed.
So that would be something we want to try.
Didn't that fail?
No, it's still up.
Threads is still going. It didn't hit quite as. I mean, Blue Sky didn't hit super well either, but it didn't like Blue Sky.
It didn't fizzle.
Like, clear,
yeah.
Threads is still around.
It didn't fizzle itself, but it's still, we want to try to be able to spread it out. So when you see it, I mean, we'll eventually record another 4041 Media ad eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Although with a friend of the show and a good friend of mine, Brian, is please have Kaz say free again if you do another one. Is that he always laughs with that, so.
Aww,
yeah,
that's
so
nice.
Yeah, so I mean,
I was worried that I sounded too try hard and
really good. It's hilarious. No, it's great.
You should do it at the same time as me, and you'll have echo effects. Because that apparently freaks people out.
It does.
It does?
Yeah. Now,
I never heard any feedback.
It does when I listen to the show and listen to some of our old episodes. I don't know who's talking.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm editing, and for a second, I'm not entirely sure who's talking.
Yeah.
You just stop like, wait, did I say that?
Hold on.
A couple of my friends have pointed it out to me that it's actually quite strange. That it sounds like I'm having a conversation with myself.
Yeah.
So...
But I can tell by, like, laughing and the way my voice gets nasally sometimes.
There's slight enunciation differences between the two of us, but
especially when I talk about horror movies.
Horror. It's horror.
That's
I say horror.
Joss doesn't have very much of a New England accent.
No.
Like, none of us really do.
No.
But a few words come out, and it's impossible for her to say them otherwise. Like, horror.
Weird.
Yeah. God, that happened to me when I was on the business trip in Canada. It's like, dude, this is so weird over here. And then there was this girl from Texas, like, I'm sorry, what? Are you trying to say weed? why is this weed? What do you mean weed?
I used the word wicked online, and someone's like, you're from Boston, aren't you? It's like, there's more Massachusetts than Boston.
Yeah.
A gobbler.
Yeah. It was like when I was down in Georgia, and they kept talking about going down the creek, and I'm like, going on the what?
Going on down the creek.
To have a booty call? To the creek.
But there was like a legit creek that we were going to. But they kept saying, go to the creek. And I'm like, what the fuck is a creek? And it's like,
am I missing something? Is this some kind of slang?
I was like, Now
I'm just going to think of 2.5 Men booty call.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to play that off mic to have Kaz laugh so hard she can't breathe. Yeah.
Oh, it's my brother in Home Improvement all over again.
Yeah, one, just a.
there's one episode of Home Improvement where they do a Habitat for Humanity episode, and I forget what football player it is that flips the switch for the exhaust fan
and turbocharged
sucks the hat off his head. Oh. And that scene was the funniest scene my brother's ever seen in his life, to the point where he was laughing hysterically and fell down. He couldn't breathe.
Oh,
and it was, I was just laughing because he was laughing because of his reaction. It was one of the funniest things that's happened.
And it's a great visual gag too, because it's just like hat foop and completely
nobody's expression
unchanging. The guy just looks up and then just looks at Tim. And that's the scene.
I don't know how to feel on the very, very rare occasion where I laugh so hard it hurts and I can't stop. I don't know whether to be upset or like, wow,
that's bad.
Yeah.
But I have a way to make Dan laugh so hard. I'm not going to do it. But I have a way to make Dan laugh so hard.
We talked about this in therapy, damn it.
That he can't breathe.
Oh, no.
And cannot make any noise whatsoever.
Oh.
So he literally has his mouth open.
It gets so bad to the point where it's just all you hear from me occasionally is a pain.
He doesn't even do that because he can't breathe, so he can't make any noise. But it's the funniest thing to watch because he is laughing so hard because he's laughing, and I'm laughing at him.
Oh, man.
Okay, the last thing that set that off was there's a YouTube channel called I think they're called like A Boring Day.
Yeah.
And their whole thing is applying increasing voltage to electric like kids' toys.
Yeah.
Yes,
so it's just like
yes.
that little like flipping gorilla, and he hooks up this thing to it, and the thing just flips, and then it flips a little faster, and it goes up to 5, and it flips even faster, and it goes up to 10, and the thing just spazzes out, and pieces are flying off.
Stuff flies off of them.
I believe they're called A Boring Day. It is phenomenal. I don't know why this tickles me so perfectly.
Oh god, I gotta show it to my dad.
Watching some shitty like Chinese knockoff little electronic like disco duck toy just spaz the fuck out.
It's pretty great.
Oh,
yeah.
It is.
But we talked about a commercial.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Commercial incoming. Fancy casting, and we'll keep doing this.
Yeah.
Alright.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening.
Movie Theater Time Machine is a part of the 4041 Media Group with podcasts like Psych Your Crime and Free Your Geek, which you can check out at 4041media.com. That's all squished together in one word, and the numbers are written as numbers.
Now it's time to tell us what you think. If you got an opinion or wanted to know what's coming up next,
find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for Movie Theater Time Machine.
Now our podcast will always be free.
Free?
To subscribe and share.
But if you'd like to help us build a bigger, better podcast, you can find merchandise designed by me, Kaz, at Zazzle. Or check out the Kaz Foxen's Animal Shop at Zazzle for cute animal gifts and pet supplies.
Thanks so much, and back to the show.
And that's when I shot the Pope.
Oh,
right.
What exciting adventures we had off mic.
Yeah.
Did I hit record a little too soon?
I was wondering if you had to take communion for that?
I don't think I'm allowed anymore.
There's a whole lot of Hail Marys you gotta say.
Yeah.
A holy lot of Hail Marys?
You see, that's where confession comes in, folks. You know, but...
Or football?
Yeah, or football.
Well, that's another thing you can do on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, that's a Hail Mary.
Hail Marys, football, Sunday's like, no.
Instead
D&D
of
is
counting
Sunday.
Rosary beads, you throw football? Is that how it works?
Yes, it's exactly it.
Do you keep,
paint yourself for Jesus, damn it.
You use the rosary to keep track of your concussions.
Yeah. Now, I have one.
10 small ones for one big one.
I have a thing for fantasy casting.
Okay. Ah, yes.
That with the way I was digging the movie, the person who played the thing was a man named James Harness.
Okay.
James Harness is most known for his role in Gunsmoke for 20 years playing Marshall Dillon.
Okay.
So he's a large individual?
Yeah, very large individual, nearly 7 feet.
Hot damn.
So, you know, for everything that he's done, basically playing cowboy. So my fantasy casting is that it is Marshall Dillon, and this whole thing is a weird simulation. And it's
Harrington was growing hallucinogens.
And
Westworld broke again.
It's a Westworld broke, yeah.
Yep.
Westworld cowboy broke, and you actually have cowboys versus aliens.
Can I jump on this?
Go ahead.
I'm gonna jump on this.
Because I was thinking of this, looking at you, I'm like, you got something. I know.
I because, and this is only because I watched the movie Sidekicks a few days ago, that this entire thing is a delusion. And it's the delusion of Mac.
This child is deeply unwell and he needs to be treated.
Mac needs to be treated because someone dumb enough to put a electric blanket on something to melt it obviously has more problems, and this was just his way of fantasizing out of his mistake. So that's where I'm
Chuck Norris is cold.
I'm a poor dog now.
I just want to watch somebody hit themselves with nothing.
And now the monster is Chuck Norris.
Now you're laughing so hard it looks like it hurts.
I knew if I brought this up, he'd giggle.
He's turned a varying shade of red.
He's very red.
Oh no!
He's almost as red as the solo cups in front of
Yay!
Him.
Yay! You know what?
Oh god, he's so
you said Mac.
Yay!
You know where I'm going with this?
I break Nick a lot.
You know where I'm going, Mac?
I can't even hear you.
No, what? Mac? Oh god, are we going Mac and me?
No. Oh, you know?
That's a much scarier monster than this.
That's a good one, but I'm just thinking Always Sunny with Philadelphia because, I don't know, man, they're all kind of idiots on that show.
Oh, good lord.
Thanks. Well, Mac's kind of dumb.
I just
broke him with Chuck Norris, so.
And see, I had a moment, cause, like, kind of reaching back to our Westworld review, and just like, I want to replace the monster with a Roomba with a knife duct tape to it. Just a Roomba with a steak knife duct tape to it.
But that's scarier than this monster.
Yeah.
Release the Roombas.
Roomba clean something.
Oh, yes.
It was the Roomba from Idiocracy. It's that one area.
It just hits the wall repeatedly.
Your area is clean.
That one section of floor is immaculate.
You're going to pick it up in 20 years and everything around it is grabbing some blue spot.
Wait, you got to watch the monster. Okay, you do that. Wait, that goes in the mouth, it goes in the ear, it goes in the butt.
Don't get them mixed up.
This goes in your butt. Hey, aliens are arrived from Earth. Where is your water? You mean like in the toilet?
No, you want Brondo. Yeah. All right, that's it. We've made a mistake.
Alien and the alien dies.
Yeah.
I'm just okay. Here's the thing. I believe that we are not alone in the universe. Like,
yeah,
like, it's not. No, Pascal's wager is the yeah, but what if thing. No, it's the Fermi paradox. The Fermi paradox is basically says that there is basically no chance that we aren't.
Yeah.
The universe is so big and old, it seems very unlikely that we're alone, but where the hell are all the aliens or megastructures or whatever?
Well, they could also be so far away that they could never conceivably get to us, and we're the aliens to them. That's the
Or they might have gone extinct because of the great filters.
Or we're the reality show.
I believe they're out there, but we're like the Alabama of the universe.
Yeah.
It's like they know we're here, they just don't want anything to do with us. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, they nuke the shit out of themselves so easy.
If you were my dad, you would be close to what he thought. Because my dad was very, very much of the opinion that aliens
dropped us off here, that we were like planted here as an experiment that went horribly wrong, and that they occasionally come back to check up on us, which is why we have like sightings and shit.
Is it the
Pleiadians? He's not, but the thing is, he never said that they came and like abducted people or anything, but he was like, that's why you get these weird things in the sky, because they're coming back to check up on us to make, to see how we are, but we're still not worth their time.
Just to make sure we're not going to get into space anytime soon.
And I was just like, okay, Dad.
Well, I mean, I kind of go with the South Park episode that, you put all the kind of species that are all from different planets all in one, and it's a reality show.
That's great.
Yeah, like, I look at them like, you know what? Yeah, that kind of works.
Is that the same episode with the ice cream shitting taco?
Yes. Okay. It was, yeah.
I like Heinlein's infinite world theory.
Yeah.
Which that there are so many parallel worlds out there. That no matter what you think of, it exists.
Yeah.
That's where Starfield is going.
Yeah.
Oh, Heinlein did it first.
But when you do New Game Plus, there's a chance all of your companions are potted plants.
Oh, okay.
Or children.
Damn.
Or children. Jesus. Or they're all you.
Jeez.
They're all different versions of you, and you're mad at you.
Now, what if this was something where it was like all a bunch of vegans and they're trying to figure out if a plant-based alien is good or not?
What?
Yeah.
How would they eat it?
If it was good or not, or is their new god or something. Like,
checkmate, vegans, now you can't eat anything.
That's not how that works.
I know, I'm fucking tired. I'm throwing out something.
In Guild Wars 2, Silvari will eat plants or meat or whatever, I think.
You can't feed.
You can't give Pudge tuna.
That'd be an abomination. okay. Anyway.
If you think, that's actually way darker if you think about it.
She's fucking dark as shit, and I love her.
Lilo believes that Pudge controls the weather. Yep. She lost her parents in an accident during a storm. She's appeasing Pudge so that there's no more bad weather so she doesn't lose Nani.
Wow, that's fucking dark as shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking, I kept wanting to, when I was trying to kind of, distinguish people and remember them better by looking for characteristics. I don't remember if it's the captain or the guy who looked like the captain, but I kept fantasy casting at Ryan Stiles. I don't know, he's tall, similar face, wavy hair.
Yeah.
See, if they're going to insist on the...
He's not lanky enough.
See if they were going to insist on the on the reporter character Scotty, if they were to do something.
What if he got beamed up?
I'm giving her all I've got, Captain. I told you 2 hours. I can do it in 10 minutes, but I told you 2 hours, so I look like a genius when I get it done in 10 minutes.
Oh, so this turns into Star Trek, and I don't know. Kirk has to just punch the alien real hard.
I had a point about Scotty, and then I lost it. Shit.
Oh. There was a movie, we watched it, it's over.
Yeah.
The movie is over.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. What's next week, man?
So, if you haven't figured out the theme of this particular Spooktober, we're going for Isolated with an Alien.
Yeah.
So, next week we will be watching, ironically enough, Alien from 1979.
Yes. Just to be specific, though, all horror. Right?
Yes. All horror movies, because it is spooky like, times.
It's not like E.T. alone with an alien.
Hey, E.T. is a horror movie.
I know, but it's usually not thought of that
way. So is Eddie Torres' extra testicle.
But I found E.T. to be scary and horrible to look at when I'm a child.
Yes, E.T. is a horror movie. The couch I
see that monster.
I will never watch that movie. Mm. Ever.
So, Nick
will not watch Dirty Dancing. Mm. I will not watch E.T.
So the week after that will be E.T.
No, fuck you sideways.
Week after that, no, actually, is going to be 1982's John Carpenter's The Thing. A much better version of what we watched this week.
Yeah.
And tying it all up is going to be another... it's kind of a spoiler if you haven't seen it, but Alone, Isolated with an Alien, the movie The Abyss.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I thought you were going to say Alien.
Alien is next week.
Because we're going chronological. The reason we're skipping is because, this was 51, 79, 82, 86.
So what's next week?
Next week is Alien.
Oh.
Yes.
In space.
You guys get Ripley.
Yeah, I like it.
Ripley the space trucker.
Yeah.
Yep. Ripley's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Protruding chest aliens and shit. And,
even though it's not in Alien, think about, like, Disney owns Fox at this point, right? Fox owns the Alien franchise.
Yep.
Is the alien a Disney princess?
So the alien queen is a Disney princess.
Okay.
So,
well, she'd be an evil queen, technically.
Just put her in a pink dress.
In the fourth one, it's a baby.
Oh, okay. So they're
talk about the newborn. The newborn is Paul Reiser's the only good thing about that movie.
That ending made me cry.
Yeah.
That ending made me cry.
Yeah. I can actually summarize that in using your language, Dan. There's only three alien movies.
There you go. Thank you.
No, I'll back you up always, man. All right, gang. So we'll catch you next time. And just be aware, you know, be on the lookout on our social medias for anything that's coming up. Also, we want to add on to the team to be able to help us out. More on that later. Be good. Take care of yourself, but don't be too good.